Psalm 133 is the sermon scripture today. How very good and kind and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. Thus ends the reading. So, I didn't know that Angie was going to talk about the bus, too. But that's pretty serendipitous. So, originally, I was supposed to do a sermon on Buddhism and Christianity, but I decided that I don't know enough about that. It's kind of a preparation introduction to our class on Zen meditation that's coming up on October 27th. So I thought maybe the best way to introduce that would be to tell you how I came to become a Zen Buddhist practitioner of meditation. So when I left Cadillac, totally naive about big cities and, you know, what goes on in big cities, I was going to Philadelphia to study music. I had been there once before for about 10 minutes, I think, when I went for my audition. My mom and I rode the Greyhound bus out to Philadelphia. So one of the things a lot of people told me before I left was, don't get hit by the bus. Look both ways before you cross the street, because they were worried. I had no experience of buses, you know, and heavy downtown city traffic, which was where I was going to be. So, you know, so I worried about that. I worried about that every time I walked to class and I had to go across Broad Street, which is the busiest street in this whole city of Philadelphia, just about. But I started thinking, after a while, I'm not really afraid of the bus. You know, I'm a smart person. I look both ways. So after that, I kind of forgot about the bus and just let it be part of my life and just kind of an accepting thing. And I rode the bus a lot, so that was a good thing that I stopped worrying about the bus. But as life goes along, sometimes we actually do get hit by the bus. It's not the literal bus. It's the figurative bus of things that just blindside you, knock you down. Sometimes you feel like you can't get up. And sometimes life is good. But when I was having a particularly bad time in my life, I had just come back from Japan, 5 years in Japan with the United States Air Force, and was working at the National Security Agency. One of my friends from Japan was a high executive at the National Security Agency, and he had been studying Buddhism the whole time we were there. He went to visit a Buddhist priest once a week and learned to speak Japanese so that he could communicate with the priest. And he was very determined in his studying. And when things started going wrong for me, I ran into him one day at work, and he said, "Why don't you come with me to the Zen Buddhist group that meets here in Baltimore?" And I was like, well, I don't know about that. I didn't pay it too much mind. He said, "You really should think about starting to meditate. I think it might help you with all these issues." Because we had sat down at lunch a couple times and talked about it. So I started looking into meditation. And there, let me tell you, there's all kinds of meditation. I went to yoga with a yoga practitioner who thought she knew how to teach people to meditate. And I went to a couple of different types of meditation places. But the one thing they all had in common was that they all wanted money up front. And I thought, well, I don't think I'm really interested in paying somebody, you know, and I don't even know how good they are at this. So finally, I called him back, and I said, "So tell me where the Zen people meet." And I went there, and I became a regular participant in the meditation sessions. We met twice a week, Wednesday evenings and Saturday mornings, and occasionally we had a Sunday morning service. I wasn't a member of any church at that time out in the East. And So that was kind of how I came to it, was having some troubles in my life. And I think it's the metaphor that Angie said, get on the bus. Don't let the bus hit you. Get on the bus. You can change things. And that's what our meditation is about today, the quote from the Buddha for the service meditation. Our thoughts are what change things. And I found that by focusing with an actual Zen priest teacher who was helping me to overcome the roadblocks of meditation free, that I could get on the bus. And I did get on the bus. And things were a lot better for me for a long time. Then I got married again, and I moved away, and I fell out of practice. And when I wanted to practice again, because the bus was coming and I could see it, I didn't really have anybody to help me. And that was when we moved back to Cadillac. And the first thing I told Bill Hirschfeld when I came here was, well, I practice Zen Buddhist meditation. Is that a problem for you? Because he wanted my mom and I to join the church. And he said, absolutely not. He said, there's nothing about Buddhism that conflicts with Christian beliefs, in his opinion. And after studying more and reading more, I've come to the conclusion that Buddhism is not really a religion in the sense of religion. You don't worship God. You don't worship a person. Buddha means enlightened being. So what you're doing is you're holding up Buddha as a standard to meet morally, ethically, inside your own soul. He's not prayed to. Even though there are many images, it's there to remind people you too can achieve enlightenment. And one of my favorite things about Buddhism, and it's in the Prajnaparamita, which is one of the teachings, one of the verses, is the three treasures of Buddhism. The first treasure is Buddha, the enlightened one who we strive to emulate. The second one is the Dharma, the teachings of the Buddha, so that we can have help in achieving nirvana, achieving enlightenment. And then the third one is the Sangha. And back in the old days, that meant the monastery. But in modern Buddhist terms, that means the community. And there are many members of many communities, and you can feel at one with all of them. I feel this is my community, and then over there in Ludington is another part of my community. And, you know, my friends that I am in touch with from the service and from college, that's another section of my community. And so it kind of brings everything all together for me. So I hope that some of you will come to the introduction class. It's really important, in my opinion, that you have a teacher when you're first starting out studying anything. I really made a mess of things with my violin until Dorothy came along and said, here, I'm going to help you with this. She really gave me a tremendous amount of help, for which I will always be extremely grateful. And when I was playing my oboe, you know, I was really horrible in seventh grade. My little brother used to run and hide and cry when I would practice. But I went to band camp. Somebody said, hey, send this kid to camp at Central Michigan. I met my teacher, who had just graduated from Juilliard, and he turned me into a real oboe player. And then my brother didn't cry anymore. So, you know, there's so much to be said for, and that's kind of why we come to church, too, because we're not experts on, you know, finding the truth out about everything in the Bible. So we talk about it, we discuss it, we have our pastor kind of push us in the right direction sometimes, or give us ideas about where to, you know, what's it really about. And I think it's important to start out with a teacher and have somebody to help you move you in the right direction. So that's about it. There, I think I had one other thing I wanted to say. Oh, so I wanted to tell you about the Four Noble Truths, because this is something that we don't talk about very much in Christianity, is that there is suffering in the world, and that is the first noble truth. Dukkha, there is suffering. The cause of suffering is attachment, clinging, being too attached to your physical objects, people. When people do things and you're attached to them, that's very painful, and that's suffering. The third noble truth is that suffering can be ended by removing attachment. And that doesn't mean to stop loving people or stop being kind or stop being morally and ethically correct. It means to stop putting so much emphasis on the non-thing, which is the possession. Possession is a non-thing to me. You know, it's your possessions. But people have a real feeling when they're with a person or if they're in a family, like there's this kind of non-elastic bond there that keeps them together. And if you can just let go of that non-elastic part of your being and kind of bring it to the fore and realize that what you're doing is trying to control people, you're trying to control your things, you're trying to control your money. Don't give it so much emphasis in your life. And the fourth noble truth is that the path is laid out for us in the Eightfold Path, which was the first writings of the Buddha. So if you want to learn more, you're going to have to come on October 27th from 1 to 5. Roshi Jendo John Wolfe will be our teacher that day. We're going to learn how to meditate in the Zen style. He's going to give a short sermon, a Buddha talk, or a Dharma talk, excuse me. And then we're going to have question and answers and refreshments and find out more about Buddhism. So thank you very much for this morning. I appreciate being able to be up here today.